Today's episode is brought to you by Omio. Omio is a travel booking platform that makes planning a vacation in Europe and North America effortless. Just enter your travel details and Omio will magically give you all the train, bus, flight, and ferry options for your journey. It's never been simpler to book your first real vacation for 2021. Best of all, using Omio saves you time and money, which is a win-win. Omio wants to help you leave your house this summer by offering 5% off your next booking. Just head on over to Omio.com and use promo code LISTENER5 at checkout. Valid until June 30th for all new users on all modes of transportation. It's just the pick-me-up your 2021 needs. Omio. Plan, book, and love the journey. Terms and conditions apply. Have you been in quarantine? Are you ready to enter the wild again? There's a chance no one has seen your coconuts in months. Don't ruin your first post-quarantine date with hairy coconuts. Would you show up to the first day of school without a haircut? Nope. Manscaped is here to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Because of the ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced while preparing yourself for post-quarantine life. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essential Kit. The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you to use when you're done quarantining. The Perfect Package 3.0 also comes with Manscaped Crop Preserver Deodorant and Crop Reviver Toner. The Crop Preserver is anti-chafing deodorant, which ensures your afternoon stroll through the jungle doesn't result in sticky coconuts. The Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner and made with soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts to give your coconuts a special boost. Subscribers to the Peak Hygiene Plan get a new replacement blade refill for your Lawnmower 3.0 delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer stays fresh and clean. The light is at the end of the tunnel, fellas. Treat yourself for making it through the quarantine and welcome back to the jungle with a Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code SLOPDROP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com when you use SLOPDROP, S-L-O-P-D-R-O-P. Your first post-quarantine date will thank you.
That's a slop drop. I can answer that. That's a slop drop. What is that move? That's a slop drop.
Slop drop time.
Oh, that's a slop drop.
Slop drop, slop drop.
Slop drop. The slop drop indeed.
Welcome back to the slop drop. This is Nathan Rogers at WooPigSumo on Twitter. And as usual, I'm joined by a couple tag partners, the unluckiest man on planet Earth, Bad Luck Chapman, and the manager of champions, rocking that sweet slop drop t-shirt, Stephen E. What's up, guys?
What's up? Oh, man. You see it. It's just riding this wave this week, man. It has been a good week. It's been a very good week.
Digging the background.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rocking my Bruiser Brody shirt, which brings us to this topic tonight. As we're recording this, actually much later than we normally record, on a Wednesday night, June 16th, 2021. It's my wife's birthday. Shout out to her. Lex Luger also had a birthday this month, but Bruiser Brody's birthday is also this week, June 18th. So let's talk about the two birthday boys in question. The infamous and bizarre steel cage match that turned into a shoot, brother, between Bruiser Brody and Lex Luger from Championship Wrestling in Florida 34 years ago this year, back in January 1987. This event was not televised, and if some fan in the crowd had not have been recording it, we wouldn't be watching it tonight.
Yeah. Man, you figure back in 87, it wasn't easy to just pull out your old cell phone and record a match. I imagine this guy probably went into the arena and he had a shoulder harness, camcorder,
one of those big boombox looking things.
Oh yeah. Take the big VHS tapes,
I have no idea how many fans were in attendance, who else was on the card. I know a few other guys, we'd mentioned before we started recording, Bad News Brown was there. I forgot who else you mentioned. Bill Alfonso, Dave Pinzer. But you can find this on YouTube. You can find this a couple different places online.
Funny, the first time that I ever watched this, man, you know, there was a period in time where I you know, I just was all over the shoots. You know, there's a pretty infamous one out there with Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Doink the Clown. You know, but this was one of the very, very first ones that I really paid attention to, at least whenever the dawn of the internet showed up. This was one of the first ones I saw.
If you're watching along with us, you can hit the pause button, find it wherever you want to watch it from, YouTube or wherever. Chapman will count us down, 3, 2, 1. We'll hit play and we'll take it from there. Ready, Chapman?
I'm ready. 3, 2, 1, play.
And here we go.
Boom.
Match started already.
You know, you look at that cage and it just looks so small, you know, by today's standards, you know.
It doesn't look like it's much higher than the top turnbuckle. Maybe a couple feet, three feet, maybe.
Frank Goodish, a.k.a. Bruiser Brody, known for his wild, brutal matches. Also a all-state football player in high school and basketball player in Michigan. Played college football at West Texas A&M University. Mm-hmm. Back then, you know, we've talked about this college a lot. West Texas State University. Dusty Rhodes had went there and a ton of other guys played football. Played a little professional ball prior to becoming a wrestler, a sports writer in San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, that college boy, they put some athletes out, that's for sure.
Brody, a very, very intelligent guy. If you've seen any of his old shoot interviews, you can see that right from the start.
Yeah.
Huge star in Japan. They called him the intelligent monster. Yeah. As you can see, Lex Luger and
you know, that's one of the things that if you listen to people, most people that talk about him, Brody, that's the one thing that they always say. That's the consensus of everybody that does a video on him or talks about him, is just how smart he was, how much of a general he was, you know, outside. And he didn't give off that impression with his gimmick. You know, he kind of came across as that wild man or whatever. So for him to be the polar opposite of his gimmick was probably pretty scary.
Luger, we've done an entire episode on him, episode 131. You can go back in the archives and check that out. He certainly had his ups and downs and battles, from drugs to jail to medical issues, and of course played some sort of role the night that Miss Elizabeth died, whether what side of that coin you want to pick. Seems to be in a much better place now, but as of then, in this match, he's not in a very good place then.
Man, I tell you what, Brody's just throwing him all over the place right now.
Yeah. There's a spot that you see, and I think I think he whips him into the corner and he tries to call it or something, but you can see when he turns, you know, the switch, like right there, look at it.
This is about when things turn ugly for Lex Luger. You can see Bill Alfonso in the background.
Look at him.
Fonzie.
You know, just threw him into the cage and completely no-sell. Both no.
Fonzie, most famous for his role in ECW as a manager.
Oh, I love RVD Fonzie.
RVD and Sabu. The referee here probably helped save Lex Luger from getting hurt.
Yeah. You know, that was one thing. As smart as Bruder Brody was, he was just as tough, man. Like that guy right there, it's pretty known that he was quick to take liberties in the ring.
In this match down in Florida, for whatever reason, they had Brody as the heel and Luger as the face. Why they booked it in the first place, who knows why. There's a ton of conspiracies we'll get to eventually, but both these guys kind of on their way out anyway. Luger had already signed with JCP, and this could have been his last match or one of his last matches. Brody, he was on his way to Dallas, I believe, WCCW.
And, you know, and I know we've talked about that cage, but, like, man, the younger viewers today don't understand. That's chain link fence.
Yeah.
That's not the new cage that y'all see today. Like,
oh, man. Yeah, that cage is the real deal there, boys.
Mm-hmm. Brody doing his Huss chant. So around the 3-minute mark of this match, Brody, he decides enough is enough and tosses Luger to the cage. And
You know, one of the things that after I saw it and I, you know, tried to do as much research as I could on it, you know, years ago. And if I remember right, I think that Brody's not
selling anything.
Yeah, no, he's not selling anything at all. That Lex got in there and of course Brody beat, look at that. Yeah. Like Brody being the veteran, you know, of course gets to call and he got in there and he tried to start calling. And he's not going to do that.
Look at him
standing straight up, looking right at him.
Luger is throwing some punches at Brody, and Bruiser Brody is just staring at him like nothing is happening at all.
Wow. Oh, like very upright, not like
He takes a step back.
I think it's at this point that Luger looks over at
the wheels Alfonso are spinning
and says, "What the hell do I do?"
Yeah.
Run.
Wow. Look at him. Like would you say that Bruiser Brody has just been staring at him for 45 seconds straight?
He goes for a body slam and
let him pick it up.
Oh man.
Wow.
Yeah. Have you ever watched
this? No, this is the first time
you've ever watched it, huh?
Kind of a jackhammer there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He just stands up, gives him the eye and waits. Now he's going to give him a little kick to the head there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it.
I assure you, that wasn't a little kick. There's some force behind that one.
Things have gone south real quick. Jeez. Yeah. Hell.
Sends Luger into the wall and follows up with the big boot. If he hasn't already, I couldn't really see from my head in the way. But at one point, like you said, Steven, he looks at Bill Alfonso and is like, what the heck?
Look, there it is right there. There was the look right there.
Yeah.
Yep. He looks over at the ref.
He's like, what's going on? He's not going along with what I thought he was going to do.
No. That is, that's something else right there.
I'd say that was a little stiff forearm because Luger didn't sell it much either.
No.
He kind of stood up like, what?
You know, rumor is Brody had some blades taped up in his,
on his fingernails, yeah.
Hands, and Luger noticed that, and he has openly admitted in several shoot interviews that he was terrified. He was locked in a cage with Bruiser Brody.
Who had razor blades
and was not going by what Luger thought the script would be going.
No. I would say that it's pretty safe to say this is their first and last meeting.
Yeah. You know, Brody he's a huge, scary guy. Had a reputation of being just a vicious brawler. And, you know, with that said,
look at that.
You can blame Luger. Luger's like, what is going on?
I mean, that's a 15-second pause just looking at each other. Basically, you can see Luger going, what the hell are you doing?
Him and Fonzie come up with a plan, though, to get out of here.
Yeah.
I think probably right in here, Fonzie's like, you know, pull me to him. I'll DQ. Even though there's no disqualifications in steel cages, typically.
Yeah.
What else could you do, though?
I don't know. We're going to have to pull up the what was it, Championship Wrestling from Florida?
Yeah.
And pull up the rule book and see
that, that takedown by Brody was legit.
Yeah, I was about to say, did you see him sweep the leg?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a sweep.
This right here is kind of a statement. Like, I'm the king of the jungle, dude. I'm controlling you. And look at
him. Yeah.
He's exhausted. He's done.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to do, you know? He doesn't know. It's like, man, I mean, like, look at this. You've got him in a
guillotine.
Got him in a guillotine just holding him, you know? And Luger is probably trying with all of his might to try to push away from this.
That was another rumor and innuendo. Brody was just going to let him pretty much gas himself out because he basically said he's roided up and he'd gas himself out. Just let him swing and
blow him up is what he was wanting to do. Yeah. Look at that front face lock again or guillotine again. Yeah, boy, this is a drizzling shits, is I think what they
it
call
is,
it.
Okay, there it is. Yeah.
Oh, there's
Luger pushes Fonzie. He calls for the DQ. Luger's going for the cage door. Guess what, dude? You're locked. Now he's going over the top. He is shagging ass out of there.
Yeah.
And there are two ways that this they say that this ended right here. The first one is that Luger jumped, grabbed his gear, had a car waiting, and then he jumped in the car, which I don't know, you know. I mean, I don't know if he would have had that much foresight to see that it was going downhill before it actually started going downhill. Now the other ending, or the other thing that I heard was, or that I'd read, was that you know, that he went back there and that Brody was all right, you know, that Brody didn't you know, that that's just what it was, you know, it was what it was.
Yeah, one version is Luger bolted, didn't take a shower, didn't do nothing. He got his
grabbed his gear,
jumped in the car, was gone. A couple shoot interviews you can find online. Luger says otherwise. He said, I didn't want to talk to Brody, but I knew I needed to. And so allegedly he went and talked to him. He said, I was going to apologize for whatever I did wrong.
Whatever. Yep.
And Brody's just blew it off like it's nothing. He's like, no worries, man. Just a bad night.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It was weird. It was awkward.
Lots
of conspiracies, though. I'll run down a few of them. That Brody didn't like Luger, didn't want to work with him in the first place. For sure didn't want to put him over and make him look good. You know, everybody knows Lex was rapidly pushed to the top.
Yeah.
And some say had a reputation of being entitled. And people like Brody resented that. I mean, Brody was old school. He'd already signed.
Not only old school, but old school and just tough as nails, man. Yeah. Like just, that's the one thing that's what you always hear about Brody, is that he was smart and that he was tough, you know, like legitimate tough, who just beat the shit out of you.
Luger had signed with JCP, and some say that he refused to lose, and some say that Crockett may have told him not to lose, you know, to come in hot. Brody didn't like to lose either, especially to people he felt was undeserving, and Luger represented everything Brody hated about some of the up-and-coming wrestlers.
But you know what? Not to cut you off, but, you know, we just said how old-school Brody is. He may not have liked to have done it, you know, but if he's standing there with the promoter, and the promoter's like, look, Lex is going over, Brody's going to do what's best for business, and he's going to go over. He may get a couple licks in, he may – you know, let you know that he doesn't want to do it, but he's old school enough that he's getting paid to take the pin.
Well, and like you said, he was one of the big faces in Dallas, you know. Then they bring him over to, you know, there, and he's not gonna, if he's looking to build his name up in Dallas, he's not gonna go into Florida and let some greenhorn, you know, that he feels that is entitled and is getting a first class ticket to the top of the mountain. Now that's not going to stick with Bruiser.
Another thought is, you know, Brody, he didn't pre-plan stuff. He called it in the ring, and he was going to make Lex learn the hard way. He was going to let, you know, call it in the ring and see what happens. It didn't go well. Some say it was a rib from the boys in the back put him up to it. Some say that Luger wanted to call the match in the ring, and you don't do that with an old school vet. If you're a greenhorn, you let them, you guys know how it is. You let them, you know, say how it's going to go.
That's right.
I mean, some say that the promoter paid him to do it, to prove a point.
Yeah.
For guys coming in, like, you know, we're going to set an example out of you, but.
Yeah. You never know.
Yeah.
You
Meltzer. Never know. Meltzer was actually friends with Brody. Of course, he was a hardcore Japanese guy and a reporter, and Brody was a Japanese wrestler and a sports reporter. According to Meltzer, Luger had refused to lose, and Brody was pissed, and the booker used the match as a warning to the rookies on the roster not to mess with tradition. And
I can get behind that.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that being the case.
Yeah, Meltzer wrote that Bruiser's plan was to let Luger punch himself out because that guy was so filled with steroids, he's going to gas himself out in 2 minutes.
Boy, wouldn't that have been something? Wouldn't that have been something?
Luger goes on to sign with NWA, WCW, WWF, won several titles, even the world titles, and I think he'll eventually become a Hall of Famer. Yeah. 18 months after this, Brody was killed in Puerto Rico. Stabbed in the locker room by Jose Gonzalez, who was one of Carlos Colon's top guys. Yeah. July 16th, 88, he was scheduled to wrestle Dan Spivey in Puerto Rico. Got into an argument with Gonzalez backstage, and people heard some screams, and Tony Atlas ran back there and saw Brody holding his stomach, and Gonzalez holding a knife, called 911. But anyway, it took the paramedics like an hour to get there through traffic, and then the venue was packed. They couldn't lift Brody because he was so big, so Tony had to help him, take him down to the ambulance, which was downstairs, and he later died from those wounds. Gonzalez claimed self-defense, was acquitted of murder in 89. Some of the witnesses didn't show up, so they didn't get their subpoena until after the trial had ended. Dutch Mantel and Tony Atlas both said Brody had roughed the guy up, several times before. And Special Delivery Jones said that the dude, Gonzalez, claimed that one day I'm going to kill that man. So, anyway, bad ending for Brody. What is crazy in my. He was so over, and he was more of a. He never worked for a major wrestling promotion, but everybody knew who Bruiser Brody was.
I tell you what, man, his stuff from Japan with Stan Hansen is just legendary, man. I mean, like and I know he had a singles career over there, but I remember just watching some of his stuff on YouTube and whatnot with him and Stan Hansen, and those guys were just
So let me,
cut
so
from the
let me,
same mold.
so imagine that Brody wasn't murdered and that ECW was around and Bruiser had joined ECW, And I'm not an ECW guy. I don't do the hardcore stuff, but my God, Bruiser would have been huge in ECW. I don't know about the WWF at the time because he was so wild. He ran through Puerto Rico swinging the chain in the crowd to get the crowd ready.
And Brody was well, how old was he when he died in sumo?
Oh gosh, I'm not
He would
sure.
he maybe his early 30s. I don't
Look that
I feel
up.
like
Look
I feel
that
like I feel like he was still a young
Yeah,
man.
he was still a young man, probably in his 30s.
I think I'm gonna Jamie, see if you can't find that.
It's, I don't know how to say it other than Brody tried to teach Lex Luger some unwritten rules in wrestling by breaking some unwritten rules in wrestling. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of
He's
sense,
about
man.
42. Was he
42? I
42?
thought he was
Well,
younger.
yeah,
41,
I
42.
did too. So that would have put him, I mean, where would ECW have went if it would have been him in the bunker,
I think.
man, one night or that first
Yeah.
pay-per-view,
This is kind of like a changing of the guard too in this era. Luger
Yeah.
represented the new breed, I guess you could say, coming in with,
Yeah, I think
the
that
bodybuild type.
yes.
Brody was more tradition and, like I said, our unwritten rules and do what's best for the business type
Hogan came to
stuff.
the WWF shortly after, right?
He was now Hogan was in Hogan?
Yeah.
He now he's WWF 83, 84.
Yeah, but I'm talking about after the Puerto Rico thing. So Because
I
that
think
was the Puerto
before.
Rico thing was in 76, right?
No, the Puerto Rico,
No,
you
this
mean
was
when Brody got stabbed?
that was
Or
88.
not 76. Yeah,
Was
yeah,
it
yeah.
88?
Yeah, 88, July 17th. Yeah.
So yeah, what a what a career, it's crazy because he just he you know there's people that have duplicated some of his stuff, like the Huss. I can think of a couple of different guys that do it, and
Mick Foley, I believe.
Mankind. Yep, Mick Foley did it for a little bit. Oh, let's see.
Gary Graham, right?
Yeah, Gary Graham does it, and oh shoot, there was another guy in that. It what was
The
his a
Berserker did
Berserker?
it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Berserker did it. John Noyden.
But
Yeah.
booking these two, man, two different eras, two different massive egos, just kind of a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, that's probably why it was never televised.
I mentioned that he never worked for any major American promotions. I mean, WCCW down in Dallas, yeah, but nothing like WCW or NWA or WWF. Gotta wonder if incidents like this may have hurt those opportunities.
I would say so. I would say so. Simply because, when you're a promoter, regardless of how much money he's going to bring you. If he comes in with a reputation of just, taking liberties and I don't know if anybody would bring him in. I know there's a couple of people that if they were on a card, I wouldn't work it, you know.
And but can we sit here and say that New Jack was in Mid-South and that Bruiser wouldn't have been, you know, like I think Bruiser would have been a much, much bigger name had he not been murdered. Whether it was, you know, even wrestling, you know, he could have been, you know, kind of like Jake Roberts to me, as far as the mind goes, he could have played a backstage role at a big company and as a producer or whatever, and really, really made a big impact. It sucks that was all cut short.
It's crazy to see how different his real life is compared to his persona. It's, like I said, super intelligent, you know. And I'm a huge Brody fan, obviously, wearing the t-shirt now. But I got to ask, do you think Brody's kind of getting a free pass here? Had anybody other than Brody had done something like this, would it be considered more unprofessional?
I guess the bigger question is if this would have happened 10 years later, you know, would you have scrubbed Brody's name in the world of professional wrestling? You know, Luger went on to become just a huge star, you know, just a few years later. If he tried to pull that with Luger at JCP, would, you know, what kind of punishment would Brody have received? You know, would he have been scrubbed?
I don't think so, because I think, you know, you look at The Undertaker, right? He was the locker room leader at the WWF. I think back in that day, Brody was kind of like the promoter's right-hand guy. If you wanted something done, you went to Brody. If, you know, one of the boys was acting up, Brody went and talked to him. Kind of like, go back a little further, Andre. You know, when Andre was on all those territories, you know, everybody knew he was the boss, mainly because he wouldn't do, you know, you couldn't make him do anything. And I don't think you could make Bruiser do anything that he didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think more of, I don't know if it would have been scrapped, but I think that he would have, you know, I think he would have been went down in history as that leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Now, is Bruiser's not in the Hall of Fame, or is he in the Hall of Fame?
I think he might be in one of those weird,
a little weird, the West Wings things, or whatever, yeah. You know, which
what's
is
crazy is Carlos Colon is.
Yeah. No, what's crazy is Great Khali.
Yeah.
We'll save that for another show.
He's done some good things in India, Stephen E.
Yeah, I'm sure he has, you know, that all of us remember.
It's just, you think if this would have happened in modern times at a house show and some fan had posted that online, the IWC would be all over it. Like, oh, I can't believe it.
Gosh, yeah.
Well, Jamie just got a hold of me and told me that Bruiser went in the 2019 Legacy.
Legacy. Yeah. Same as Dr. Legacy. Steve Williams.
Same as Dr. Dusty. Golly.
Put him in the legit.
We could make an episode based off of the Legacy Wing. We ought to do
you know
that
and that what sucks is you know when that first started, it was a bunch of guys you know that I hadn't even heard of, you know, that were going in there, but it was all guys you know back in like the 30s and 40s and they were big names, and now you've got Bruiser Brody in there, and then you know and
Steve Williams. You
to
know.
Me, Steve Williams, Dr. Death, Steve Williams, because. We had a whole episode on it.
Yeah, WWE pretty much ruined his career. They could at least put him in the real home.
At least, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And the problem is, man, is everybody, you know, they built that stupid brawl for all around him and wanted to push him to the moon. He let him down, and somebody's still holding a damn grudge about it.
Yeah.
Richard.
Oh, man. You know, speaking about shooting to the moon, did anybody happen to see the new $1 million champion last night?
Yeah, LA Knight. Yeah. I'll tell you,
hey, what about that? He
really
good. Yeah, what about that show, man? That was a. Did you not watch it? You've not seen anything?
I saw LA Knight.
The first 15 minutes was great.
Oh, man.
With Regal, Karrion Kross, and Samoa Joe back in action.
Oh, man. You know, it makes you wonder, you know, because I know I read that Triple H was vividly upset about Samoa Joe being cut. I wonder how they make that up to you. Do they give you a couple of extra zeros on the end of your paycheck, or
you know
they bump you 10%?
And I'm telling you what, it was a shoot. They fired him so they could bring him back for less money.
Triple H is the one that wanted Joe in the first place, and then they put him on Raw, and then it was downhill from there.
Mm-hmm.
So he
Yeah.
fought to get him back, and it's a pretty good role the GMs are
Yeah,
forced
well,
until he's able to be cleared.
especially because he's dealing with the concussion protocol stuff, and you know, I think it's a good place for him to be. You know, although I'm not gonna lie, I thought he was a great commentator. I
I
thought he
actually
really,
I liked his
I thought he was
commentary a
really
lot.
good, you know, commentary. But you know, you know what I didn't like, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody went and you know, like maybe jumped him or you know. Punched him while he was doing commentary or something, and I just hated to see him, you know, sell that because that's not, you know, that's not Joe's character. You
Yeah.
don't punch
No,
Joe.
the dude,
Joe
the biggest
punches
thing about
you.
Joe was the chant, Joe was going to kill
Yeah,
you.
Joe was
Like, let
going to
that dude
kill
clear
you.
up from this concussion and see what we got.
Yeah.
NXT is great though. The only thing they're missing is that crowd. You
Yeah,
if you
yeah.
give NXT, even the
We,
AEW crowd, maybe 1,000 people,
boy, we were.
so much different.
We were talking about that the other day, how we just can't believe that, you know, they're in Florida, you know, the you know,
They're allowed to have
yeah, they're
people.
allowed to have people, and you know, they're just not pushing anybody into it. And
Yeah.
you know, I mean, I guess I get it, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I you know, guys, man, that first, you know, not house show, but that first televised Raw that has, you know, a crowd is just gonna be something else. And I think, you know, we're you know, me and Bad Luck here are in Missouri, and Sumo's down south, down in Arkansas. But I think that they've got Raw coming to North Little Rock and Kansas City coming up in the next 6 months.
Yeah, I think so.
I think which will be fun. You know, it'll be a good little road trip. But
It sucks
we can't.
because I'm like, you know, the only thing I can think, like FTR, you know, man, if they would have pulled
Boy,
up in that old Chevy
light
pickup
pickup,
truck
yeah.
and when there was a crowd. My gosh.
Yeah, but we got to get this August road trip out of the way before we start doing anything else. So, man, what about that, Sumo? Who is excited for that, man?
Oh man, we're talking about the NWA
And
trip.
yes, it's
That's going to
Chase,
be
boy.
nice,
Wow,
man.
man, I can't wait till tickets go on sale.
The all women's Empower pay-per-view and NWA
Yes.
73, and
Yes,
we
yes.
may or may not know a couple of scoops, but trust me, if you're
Man,
listening or watching,
yeah, it's
it's
going to
going
be
to be
good.
worth it. Check it out.
Yeah, it's going to be a good event, man.
Hey, quick shout
I am.
out to Renee Young and John Moxley for having their baby. So congratulations
Yeah,
to them.
yeah, yeah.
Baby girl, I
Congratulations.
think.
Yeah,
That's right.
congratulations. You know.
And also thoughts and prayers to Don West,
Yeah.
diagnosed with
Yeah.
a brain lymphoma. So
Yeah. Yeah. Before we bring it down, I want to give a big shout out to the connoisseur Niles Planquet.
yep.
For capturing the vacant Mid-States Wrestling Heavyweight Championship this past weekend at a excellent show here
Excellent
in
show.
Springfield,
Yeah.
Missouri. Sold out show.
Sold out. You talked about great shows earlier. That was a great show, man.
Man,
Sold
man,
out,
oh man.
full house, standing room
Let me
only,
tell
hanging from
you,
the rafters.
hanging from the rafters, boy. Let me tell you what, man. There is some young talent in Mid-States right now that is just, man, poised for superstardom. You know, when you know, I'm in the back and I'm looking at the monitor and you know, or I'm walking around, you know, doing whatever I'm doing, and I just hear the crowd go crazy. It, you know, immediately it's like a bug to one of those old you know, those old bug zappers. You know, you just go straight to it. I go to the monitor and look, and man, that Colton Vaught kid is just. Hey, he is an incredible athlete, man. That kid,
Yeah.
he's poised to be somewhere one day.
Colton Vaught, must see TV. Colton
Yep.
Theron Vaught won his first title, defeated the Iceman, getting the United States Highway Championship. You mentioned Niles Planquet defeated the super talented, rough and tough
Super
and
talented,
rugged
yep.
Moonshine Mantell. That was a heck of a match, man. That was
Boy,
excellent.
that was the first time I'd ever seen him. And man, I'm telling you what. Him and Niles complimented each other so much in there. That was a
Yeah,
great
I tell you
match.
what, I don't think there was anybody in the in there was not a better seat in the house than where I was at in that match. And boy, when they started blistering and they started throwing those chops,
Oh.
man, oh man! And you talk about everybody. If there was one person in there that walked in there and said, "You know, I'm gonna sit down and watch this entertainment," after they watched that match, they knew that they had just saw a fight, man. Like those
Man.
guys. Whew.
McBee and I was doing commentary. We was probably a good 30 feet away, maybe a little
Oh
more.
man.
And we had our headsets on, and we could hear those chops from where we were sitting.
Oh man,
Brutal.
it was definitely that is that that was such a great match, man. Those guys killed it. Hey, what about the Johnnies, man? The Johnnies,
I was about to bring them in.
yeah.
Toxic Masculinity,
Yep, toxic
Undefeated, and
mask.
MSW, Johnny Lightning and Johnny Dynamite on Quite the Role.
Oh man, I tell you what, last time I looked, it was up to about 2,000, 2,200 views. But John Rinke, he did a good, he pays attention to the show. I can tell because he made sure that he didn't stick his nose in our business that night. But I can't say that he didn't have that respect for the Johnnies because he got up on the ring and threw his damn prosthetic leg to the Space Cowboy. In turn, Space Cowboy blasted, I think it was Johnny
I
the
don't know where
Dynamite.
you were sitting at when all that happened. Space Cowboy took that leg
Is that what it
from
was?
him, illegally used it,
Oh,
and hit Johnny Lightning. And it shouldn't have happened.
oh, man.
JJ and Chad cheated.
That's
And nobody likes a cheater.
Shout out to John Rinke. We talked about Johnny Lightning and Johnny Dynamite. What about Johnny Tiger? Super nice guy. After the show, we went and had a bite with the guy from the Tiger King, and going to be a season two
He's a
of Tiger King. There's some breaking news for you.
That is that's a exclusive right there. Exclusive. Yeah, he was a pretty good old boy, man. And I didn't know this prior to the show, but he's actually a he's a big wrestling fan. This wasn't just a autograph meet and greet. I genuinely think that he wanted to just come out and watch the show. And what better of an impression to leave on somebody than the impression that we left on everybody that night, man? Because, one of the things that I like to do after the shows is I like to go creep people, people's comments and stuff like that, and kind of get an idea of what the show was like
I
for
didn't
the
see
fans.
that.
And no, man, I mean, everybody, there was people like, this was my first ever wrestling show. I can't wait till the next one. There were people that was, that praised it as being the best mid-state show that they'd ever seen, And man, I really, 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 really feel like this was one of the better shows that we put on,
Me too. Miranda
the
Gordy in action. Heard
Oh
the
man,
Blue
Miranda
Bolt was
Gordy,
successful. And the Blue Bolt, man, talk about somebody that's improved leaps and bounds. That
man,
kid
yeah,
is really, I mean,
yep, he's got a bright
real
future
good.
ahead of
Real,
him,
real good.
he's not Stephen E. Worthy yet,
Well,
but
but I
if
tell you
he puts
what.
in another 5 or 10 years, he will get there.
I tell you what, it was good to see Mr. Saturday Night Michael Berry back. I haven't seen him at one of the mid-state shows for, for a couple of years. So it was good to see him back and on the microphone talking to people, doing what he does, shaking hands, kissing babies, wearing sunglasses indoors because everybody knows that his future is bright. It's
And he
good to
was,
see him.
whether it be Niles Plunkett, whoever's holding that title, watch out for Gideon Vane, who's
Man,
got the golden
that guy.
ticket to a title shot anytime he
He
wants.
does, boy. He does. And there's just something about that
It's
guy
a
that
big,
just
scary man.
he's a scary, scary, scary guy, but I tell you what, I think if he were to look across at Niles Plunkett, he realizes that he's gonna need something, gonna need something, someone in his corner to kind of even the odds and make that a fair fight. Because I'm telling you right now, by hook or by crook, we'll walk out of that match with the Mid-States heavyweight champion. Not to say that he is not a formidable opponent, because he definitely is. I would love to see him in my stable at some point, but who knows? But when as long as he's got that trophy with him, man,
Here,
he's somebody that we've got to keep our eye on.
here's the thing, Nathan. Who do you see that is better than Niles Plonkett right now?
Oh man.
Here, I'll answer it for you. Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
It's a talented roster, but Plonkett's on top of it
No,
right now.
absolutely. The connoisseur is at the top of his game,
Because
man.
he's got the manager of champions.
That's right.
That's
That is
right.
right. That's
Got the
right. Now,
manager of gold.
he has fulfilled, man. It's been 18, 20 months since, since we've had any gold in our stable. Well, shoot, it's been longer than that. It's been 18 months since we were out there in Springfield. And gosh, who was my last champion? Was it, whew. I'm thinking Gary Graham. So
Yeah.
it's been 3 years since I've had gold in my stable. Man, that's
unacceptable.
Yeah, it's very
it's a shame that Gary Graham left the Premier legacy and went into business for himself because he could be a huge star right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody makes bad choices. Gary, call us.
Yeah. Yeah, call us, Gary. You know, I tell you what, I like to see Gary work, man. I like to watch him swing that chain. He has a couple of spots that really take me back back in the day. The one where he goes and hikes the leg up on somebody, that's always a good one to see.
He always chased me around the ring. Every time we'd get in the ring together, he'd start that hoop, hoop, hoop. He'd start running around in circles.
Yep, chase you out of the ring.
Yeah, I don't know how many times he peed on my leg.
Yeah.
Figuratively.
Figuratively. All right, guys, that about wraps it up. Follow us on Facebook at The Slop Drop, on Twitter at The Slop Drop 1, wherever you get your podcast. We're there. Leave us a good rating, a good review. Smash that subscribe button on YouTube. Either way, thanks, as always, for listening. Until next time, we are out of here.
Goodbye and good night. 1, 2, 3.